everyone, and welcome back to our final episode of
Wedding Season!
We're kicking off the summer here at TFD with our four-part series all about wedding season and the financial, logistical, relational chaos that it often creates, and this just absolutely crazy, unhinged engagement and wedding culture that we sort of are forced to be a part of whether or not we want to participate in it ourselves. I'm Chelsea Fagan, founder and CEO of The Financial Diet, and this is
Ashley C. Ford, author, podcast host, and good friend to Chelsea Fagan.
Excellent friend. I like how you only sometimes use the C.
Oh, yeah. I only sometimes use the C because it's not as important to me as it used to be, because the Ashley Ford, who was a really bad writer online, who I was trying not to mix SEO with, is really deeply buried now. So
you
I don't have
killed.
To worry about it. No comment.
That is too funny. So today we're going to be talking all about engagements, the lead up to the wedding, and sort of the culture that has put us in, you know, on the starting block of just the incredible financial chaos that wedding culture has become, because even the engagement period now is a bit of an arms race.
It can be.
But before we get started, I want to take one quick second to shout out our partner for the entire wedding season series, Monarch. So for those who don't know, I'm a big proponent of a good budgeting app for years. I was a Mint user. I talked about it all the time here in the first TFD book. But for those who don't know, Mint is no more. So I've been looking for a replacement, and I personally found and love Monarch, which is not just an excellent budgeting app, but helps you do so much financially in terms of planning your future, managing your goals, really understanding your habits, and just sort of having a much better relationship with money holistically. But you don't have to take my word for it, because the Wall Street Journal just named Monarch the best budgeting app, and it was named the best Mint replacement by Forbes, something that I also very much agree with. And even better, there's no ads, no selling your financial data to third parties, and no premium-only upsells. Just a clean, secure app that makes managing money feel way less overwhelming and actually kind of fun. And just in time for wedding season, with Monarch for couples, you and your partner can create a shared view of your finances, track progress together, and make your money dates a breeze. Join over 1 million other Monarch users by heading to monarchmoney.com or the link in our description, and get 50% off your annual plan with code TFD. So we're going to talk about engagements and the lead up to the wedding here as a way to kind of round us out. What's your engagement story? I know your engagement story, but tell the people.
My engagement story is that I told Kelly for a really long time that I would only ever get married if I was proposed to with a ring made out of adamantium, which is the metal fused to Wolverine's bones in the X-Men universe that doesn't actually exist. So when first of all, he proposed with Avengers collector's rings with the Hulk symbol on the front of them, because we both loved the Hulk really, really bad.
Nerds.
And we both still do. Massive nerds. Massive nerds. But, you know, we were going to be taking our first international trip together to Italy. Kelly is so easy to read. I knew he was going to propose. Like, I knew that he was going to propose. I knew something was happening because he was being odd. He was just being odd. And he was actually so excited about proposing that he couldn't wait until we left for Italy, and ended up proposing like a full 3 days before we left because he just couldn't wait to do it. And, you know, he got down on one knee, asked me to marry him, burst into tears. I said yes. And that was it. We called our parents, you know, we called our siblings and our best friends to tell them. And then we just sort of reveled in the fact that in a couple days we were going to be going off to Italy and having this amazing trip, and that we would be doing it knowing that, like, we were engaged and we were going to be married at some point. And that was really, really lovely.
That is really lovely.
How about you?
Oh, God. We were in France, and I'll never forget. I had several rules for an engagement. I said, do not get down on one knee. I don't like it.
Understandable.
But in different strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Different strokes on different boats. Have you been hearing that? It's so on and
so on.
Share and future, anyone? but so I didn't want him to get down on one knee. Nothing public. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know,
same.
Whatever.
Same.
Didn't like that. And I wanted to design the ring. So,
ooh.
I was like, if you're going to propose with anything, it should be like a dummy ring, basically. Mm-hmm. because I love Mark, but I'm not going to trust a man to design a piece of jewelry that I'm going to wear every day for the rest of my life, please. But so we were actually, it was funny, we were supposed to go to a dinner at this one restaurant, and he, like when we were at a bar nearby getting a drink beforehand, he surprised me with, I actually made reservations at this other extremely fancy special restaurant that I really loved, and now I love my husband, but I always say that like, if we weren't together, if we had never met, he would be a billionaire because I am such a spender and he is the most frugal man in history. Yeah. He never buys himself anything. He never spends money on himself. He is such a spendthrift. It's a spendthrift. Okay. So I should have known the jig was up when he was like, let's go to this really expensive restaurant that I'm like right. surprising you with out of nowhere. That's so not his style. And again, I love it because if I didn't have him, I would still be in financial ruin, I'm right. sure. I need that anchoring force. We're very much, you're Capricorn, he's Capricorn, I'm Aquarius, your Kelly's husband's Aquarius. So yes. we really are just the yin and the yang. We're forming such an interesting, me and Kelly are levitating and you guys are standing on that ground.
Being like,
pulling
please.
Us down.
Please.
But so we were at this restaurant. It was like before the dessert course, we were outside having a cigarette. Yes, sometimes I smoke cigarettes. That is one element of the Chelsea lore. Integrate it accordingly to your mental image of me. Anyway, I'm just blasting a cig and I turn around and he's just holding a ring. And he's like, will you marry me? Blah, blah, blah. It was very sweet. And I was like kind of drunk too. I had like several glasses of wine. I was like, sure, yeah. You know, whatever, so excited. But then this is how cheap my husband is, in a good way, in a way that I need. I'm on the phone crying with my mom and he orders an Uber pool. So I didn't even realize what's happening. We get out of dinner, we get out of dessert, whatever. And of course they like brought champagne over and everything. So like, I'm like, we're loose at this point. I get into the back of this Uber and I'm thinking my husband's getting on the other side. I did not realize it was an Uber pool. So I get back there and it's just some poor French man heading home from the office. I guess he had gone to like an after work party with his colleagues because it was like a Wednesday night or something. And he's like sitting like this. Mark goes up front and sits next to the driver. So, and I'm just like crying on the phone to my mom. I'm like, mom, I'm engaged, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, this man is like flicking through his phone, like, get me out of here.
What is this? Oh, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable. He ordered an Uber pool afterwards.
Listen, he just spent a lot of money on a dinner. He was like, I'm going to save the $20 and I'm going to get us an Uber pool across town back to our hotel.
I love it.
So, yeah. And to me, that is like very much, I think both of our stories are real microcosms of our marriage.
Absolutely.
Which I love.
100%.
And then I went and designed my ring, but I don't wear it. As often as I should, because I find it physically unpleasant to wear rings.
I told Kel that we would design a ring or that we would find a ring for me. And I just kept kicking it down the road because I just kept being like, I don't want to wear a ring every day. I'm not really a ring wearing person. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm married. You know, they know I'm married, this guy. So what's the problem? Like, why do I have to wear a ring? So I was really sort of wrapped up in it. Like, oh, what am I going to do? And I told Kel, I don't know how I feel because I don't want to get something that I'm going to either lose or leave somewhere. I know myself. I'll keep taking it off because I don't like wearing it. And he was like, well, you don't have to wear a ring. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to wear a ring. Yeah. Like I don't know why. I'm a very smart person, but it just had not occurred to me. I don't have to wear a ring. Now, Kel wears two rings.
Mark's never without his ring.
Kelly wears his engagement ring and he wears the ring we got because we had rings to exchange at the wedding ceremony that we just bought like online. I found something pretty or whatever and bought it. And probably already lost it. Honestly, I don't think I have it anywhere. Kelly wears both of his every day.
We love Kelly and Mark. Anytime we travel together, those two
they're
are
the best.
A house on fire.
Dynamic
two.
Duo.
They just are such good guys with such good vibes. Unfortunately, though, I think the engagement culture has been so co-opted, more even so, I think, sometimes than wedding culture with mm-hmm. the performance of
oh,
it.
Oh, yes.
One of the stories that we got from our community One of my best friends recently got engaged. Despite being the type of person who would never want to spend a lot of money on a ring, would never want a big public engagement, would never want to make a spectacle of the choice to spend a lifetime with someone, parentheses, not even sure if she would really want a wedding, she got an engagement that was all of that. Big public spectacle, big expensive ring they can't really afford, and now we're on the road to a big expensive wedding.
Yeah, you gotta, this is why I talk a lot about knowing what you want. Like, you have to have a real clear view of what you want. Otherwise, you end up just going along with a script or with other people, with what other people think you should be doing. I knew when I was getting, after I got engaged, that I was not necessarily going to be able to pick up the bridal magazines that most people picked up or go to the same websites for all kinds of reasons. I'm Black, I'm big, I'm bi, you know, I got the B's covered. Okay. Like, I.
The Better Business Bureau.
I'm the Better Business Bureau of Black, bi, and big. I just knew that, like, a lot of these spaces were not going to have what I wanted or what I needed. And I ended up getting really lucky in finding this small independent wedding magazine that had just come out that was really fabulous and actually really helpful. Of course, they shuttered like right after my wedding. But that was like, I had to be clear with myself about what I really wanted and what I really wanted things to look like, because it's easy to get on the train and just be on the train and follow the train.
Oh, 1,000%. And I think there's also this very sort of weird sunk cost fallacy that takes place where once you've already done one big thing, you have to do another and you have to do another.
Yeah.
And this is why, again, I think the performance of all of it, like, I've never, ever shared my engagement ring on social media because first of all, I don't like soliciting too many opinions on something that I personally designed and is very intimate to me, because then I feel like I'll... if someone says a nasty thing about it, then I'll like forever feel like it's tainted. But also because I think there's such an element of that that feeds into some of the worst of this culture we've been talking about, which is like, it's more about the way the thing is perceived or the way that it looks, often to people who aren't even part of it, than about how it feels or about what's meaningful to you. And, it, you know, in this story, we don't have enough information to know whether or not she asserted what she did and didn't want, because both you and I were very clear.
Yes.
As is our nature to be like, and this and none of this.
Yes.
You know, and if not, the answer's no.
Yeah.
But I also think this is part of the reason why, you know, the norms around it being exclusively a man who proposes means that if you are the person who is on the receiving end of that, and you're not willing to be extremely communicative, then you kind of are at the whim of the person whose job it is to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that.
No. I do think, though, in basically all cases, public proposals are coercion.
I mean, at that point, it feels like it. Because it's, you put people in front of an audience.
How can you give an enthusiastic yes if the alternative is public humiliation?
I agree.
You know what
Unless,
I mean?
Unless, here's the only time I think it's okay is when it has been requested and when somebody tells you that's their dream or something that they've always wanted. And you want to give them that moment or that dream, whatever it is, fine, do that. But thinking I'm going to surprise the other person with a public proposal when they've never said that they'd want something like that, when we've never walked past a public proposal or seen one and they've been like, oh, I hope my proposal is like that. Or, oh, when I get proposed to, I hope it's like that. Like, people give you hints. People say things all the time. And I know people for whom they knew they were going to say no because it was a public proposal. And they immediately understood that this person did not understand them or get them at all.
Well, and I think there's also two things. One, no part of your engagement should be a total shock.
I agree.
You should never be shocked. Like,
I agree.
There should be a mutual sense of understanding and expectation, I think, in all things partnership related. But B, I do... to some extent, understand, like, if you're a man who is expected to propose and is not getting a ton of direction.
Yeah.
we do live in a culture that is teaching us increasingly that the more performative, the more of a spectacle, the more outward these things are, the more meaningful they are.
Yeah.
And the more valuable they are. So I don't necessarily blame someone for thinking that that is a default expectation or that it's valuable in some way. But I also think, like, when we choose to let the world in on our engagements and things like that, whether it's physically in a public space or online or whatever it is, like, mm-hmm. it's so important to understand that, like, we are, whether or not we want to, signing some kind of social contract that now we're on a stage, we are performing.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, they came to see the show. They want a little razzle dazzle.
They do. Know?
It's like when people have kids and they, like, every single month they, like, put that little felt board with, like, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever. Yep. And a lot of times it kind of falls off after a while, because who has time for that after a while?
Not many.
But it's also, like, it creates this expectation of, like, well, now we're part of it.
Yes.
You know, now we're part of that kid.
Yes. Yes. And I've always, you know, I shared my engagement. I shared these, my wedding and different, like, elements, you know, little things from it. But I'm more of a, I think of myself on social media as more of a, have you ever seen the movie Hell or High Water?
No.
There is a moment in that film. It's okay. There's a moment in that film where these two Texas marshals go to a small diner where a woman is the only waitress, an older Texan woman. And she tells them, they sit down and she goes, they go, well, what's on the menu or what are the specials or whatever? And she's like, we serve steak. So we serve it this way and we serve it with this drink and then you can get these sides. So what don't you want? And they said, what don't we want? And he said, yeah, because you either get green beans or you get mashed potatoes. So what don't you want? And that's the only question she asked. I think on social media, I'm the kind of person who's like, these are the options you have for how to interact with me, how to engage with me and things like that. You can pick one, but those are your options.
Otherwise, block city.
Block city. Block it like it's hot. That's how I live my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have every right to say, here's a little bit, but if I don't, like, you know, welcome, you can come into the vestibule. You're not coming into the
Absolutely.
Living room. And if I don't like the way you're acting, you're back on the street.
With the quickness.
And unapologetically.
Unapologetically.
But the other thing that happens with wedding culture is that people get into the sort of the inertia of yes. being about to be married. And then you have situations like this, which is from Reddit. From a man. So take it as you will. I really wish I had the courage to cancel my wedding happening in 4 weeks. Our relationship is so one-sided, it's actually ridiculous. I realized during our engagement that I'm really getting nothing out of this, and she doesn't seem to care. She acknowledges it and says she wants to work on things, but then does nothing about it. On top of that, our wedding has become insanely expensive. It went from $20,000 to now over $60,000. And it feels like all of this planning has been to make sure that she gets her dream wedding. The problem is her at-home life isn't great. Her relationship with her parents, especially her father, isn't good. She relies on me for a lot, and if I step away, I know I would just be abandoning her. Should I sacrifice my happiness for hers? I really do still love her. Lately, I've been getting anxiety attacks about it raining. Is the venue supposed to be outside? And I know she's going to be pissed if we have to whip out umbrellas or move into an indoor space. It feels like we are gambling $60,000 just because. I can't eat, sleep, and I feel like it's becoming too much for me, and I don't know what to do.
Get out for the both of you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
And it seems like he just wants to cancel the wedding but stay with her.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair.
I think it's fair and sometimes is the best possible thing you can do. I have two friends who were going to be getting married. We were invited. You remember this. And they decided that it was just too overwhelming, that the wedding had stressed them out, that they were fighting in a way that they had never fought before. And when they looked at why, it was all coming back to logistics for the wedding. And so they canceled the wedding and they said, we still love each other. We're still together. We're still going to be together forever. But this wedding is not happening because of how it affected our relationship and how it's affecting us. And I thought that was one of the coolest things I had ever read, not just because then I didn't have to show up at a wedding, but also because it was so evident that the honesty they had with each other was what would make the marriage more so. We don't, like, the wedding, who cares? But that kind of honesty that they were able to have and this hard decision that mm-hmm. they were able to come to mm-hmm. and then share together with friends, family, all these people who are going to be disappointed, their ability to do that for me was like, oh, they're going to be together forever. They're going to yep. be married forever with that level of understanding, compassion, and like agency.
I think that's so true. And I think, you know, as someone who is prone to anxiety attacks and who, you know, I've even been, you've mm-hmm. been with us the past couple of days. I've slept 4 hours in the past two nights mm-hmm. total. I feel like I'm hallucinating as we speak, if I'm being totally honest, but I'm about to head out for, you know, a several day book tour, week long book tour and then another one. So I'm like, I have shit to do. This is a non-negotiable, and I'm obviously happy to do it. I love doing stuff with you, and that's for stuff I'm excited about. And yeah. that's for stuff that's going well and yeah. for things that I'm choosing to do and have control over. But the adrenaline is high. I'm worried about things that could go wrong. There's yeah. a lot of logistics. For example, I'm doing city to city to city. So if there's an issue with flights, if there's an issue with, you know, the venue, shipments, anything like that, there's so much that can go wrong, you know, and then, you know, making sure to sell all the tickets and to coordinate everything. You know, there are things in life that cause us great stress, but are ultimately worth it. And if you are a person who really struggles with managing stress, do not have a big, grandiose wedding, because you are truly signing up for a 24/7 anxiety producing machine. Mm-hmm. That on top of that, you will pay, in this case, $60,000 for the pleasure of. And we actually did the one really high stress aspect of our wedding, which another thing I would change if I could go back, even though overall I really loved it. And it was, you know, it was 27 people, so that's manageable. But also we were all living together for almost a week. So it was like mm-hmm. there wasn't so much pressure on any one thing because we were all just mostly hanging out the whole time. Mm-hmm. But for the actual day of the wedding, it was outdoors mm-hmm. and the inside was a great step down. You know, it was a garden restaurant. Yeah. And so, of course, as soon as it got close, I was like, every day, I was like, refresh, refresh, refresh. Like, what's the forecast? And a big wedding, like if it was that plus, you know, 150 more people, plus one day you got one shot and plus, you know, all of this insane expense. Like, we spent very little on our wedding because of its size and all of that. Like, it is not fair of your partner to require you to create a situation of such great anxiety for something that is not important or meaningful to you just because it is to them. That's yes. not fair.
Yeah. And it doesn't bode well, honestly. I hate to say it that. I really do. But it doesn't bode well. You need to be with somebody who can see you and somebody who looks at your, what sounds to me like, honestly, suffering and responds to it with compassion, kindness, and hopefully, in some cases, an offer to help you come up with a plan to manage yes. it so that you two can manage it together.
People rarely regret opting out of things. People, when it comes to divorce, for example, people regret it. I mean, women especially regret it very little mm-hmm. Because to get to the point of divorcing, usually things have to be quite bad for quite a long time.
Yeah.
If you get to the point of canceling a wedding, it means that things were quite bad for quite some time, or that it was catastrophic financially, or that there's some other major reason that overrides all of the social and logistical and financial whatever issues with canceling a wedding. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing you can rest assured of is if it gets to the point where you say, I can't do this, this is a nightmare, let me pull the plug, almost statistically certain you will not regret that, because what led you to that decision is the instinct you need to be listening to.
Hard agree.
Ashley, what is your number one piece of advice for anyone who is going into their own wedding planning?
My number one piece of advice when you're going into your own wedding planning is to keep in mind who you're doing it for. And the answer might not be that you are doing it just for you and your spouse or future spouse. a lot of times you're also doing it for your parents, or you're doing it for other family members, or you're doing it so that your friends can come together and party and you can see everybody that you haven't seen since college. Whatever it is, if you're clear about why you're having the wedding, because the wedding is not the marriage, the wedding's just the wedding. If you're clear about that, it's a lot easier to hold your ground, to ask for what you want, for what you actually want, and to get what you want. And it's easier to find out when you can't get what you want. So maybe that gives you more information about what's next.
Do not go into credit card debt for any part of the experience. Guest, bride, engagement, whatever, I don't care. None of this is that serious. You can go down to City Hall and lock this thing up for a couple $100.
100%.
Do not go into credit card debt. It is never worth it. Take it from someone who had spent years getting out of credit card debt and then years rebuilding her credit score. It is not worth it for a party. And you can always later down the road throw a party for an anniversary or a vow renewal or whatever else you want to do. You can always throw a party. Do not go into credit card debt. And don't let anyone else push you into credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Say no to peer pressure. Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a delight. As it always is. Where can people go to find you?
People can find me at ashleycfort.com or on Instagram at smashfizzle or on Blue Sky at smashfizzle.
You're a Blue Sky diva?
I'm on there. I do things from time to time.
Love it. I said once Twitter was out of my life, nothing will replace it because it was not good for me.
Understandable. Totally understandable.
But I am like heavily on TikTok, so I don't know that that's any better. But anyway, please go follow Ashley. Please, please get her book. It is a truly life-changing read, Somebody's Daughter, an incredible, incredible memoir. And yeah, thank you all so much for joining us for 4 weeks of wedding season. And I'll see you back here for other cool stuff on The Financial Diet. Bye, guys. Happy summer.